John Molinaro, Sportsnet, is in studio. You're not amused by our discussion?
No.
I am amused.
No, you don't.
Actually, ask him six baseball questions first, because I know he loves baseball. He loves baseball.
No, I loathe baseball.
Why are you doing soccer then instead of baseball?
It's just the sport I kind of grew up with.
This is magnificent. This is the man who loathes soccer versus the man who loathes baseball.
There you go.
This is like Reagan versus Gorbachev. This is Trump versus nobody.
Well, I don't care. I don't care what other people like and don't like. It doesn't bother me. I don't argue with people. I don't try and convince them to like what I like. And for that reason, I don't understand why other people feel the need to convince me of what I should like.
But that happens every day.
Every day I get somebody says, "Why don't you like it? This blah blah blah."
But it's like it's like former smokers trying to convince people to stop smoking. It's like it's like everybody that's moved to British Columbia that hates everybody else from everywhere else. You know, it happens all the time.
I'm the same way. I get people who, I'm sure like you, people will say, "Well, how come you don't like soccer?" I get, "Well, how come you don't like baseball every day?" So I appreciate where you come from.
Yeah. They want to convince you that you're nuts.
Doesn't make sense. It's just
I don't care if you don't like baseball.
Exactly.
Gives me extra leg room at the park.
There you go.
That's how I look at it. All right. So this, let's start with this. Is North America still the favorite to get the World Cup?
I think it's still the favorite, but whereas this whole process started, it was pretty much a shoe-in.
Yeah. Now it ain't.
Now it's very much in question for a whole litany of reasons. Vancouver pulling out, I think, reflects poorly on the bid. Chicago, I think, pulling out as well reflects very poorly.
Minneapolis.
And why would they pull out of the bid?
Well, Chicago and Vancouver, the cities have pulled out essentially because over costs. So the cities are responsible for security and upgrades to whatever upgrades need to be made to the stadiums. There's tax sort of implications long term for the city. So there's no guarantee. I mean, this could sort of bleed
right
economically. Cities dry.
And are you committed to using natural turf in this tournament?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think
unlike the women's
tournament. Yeah. No, there won't be any sort of
Which would be a huge cost in Vancouver.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, and it will be in Montreal as well because they're going to play at the Big O.
Yeah, but Montreal, they always seem to find money.
That's true.
It's amazing. They always seem to find the money in Montreal.
Well, they borrow it and then don't pay it back.
That's finding in my mind.
They usually borrow it from the rest of Canada.
Oh, now, Bob.
So, Morocco is in the bidding. Is there anybody else?
That's it.
Just the two.
This is going to be one of the two.
So what do you know about the Moroccan bid?
Well, they've been here before. Like, they've lost four times. They don't have the same infrastructure as the United bid from Mexico, Canada, and the U.S., obviously, and they have to build some stadiums.
Oh.
But the Moroccan government has been fully committed. They're going to sort of put in, you know, I think close to a couple billion dollars to build these new stadiums. And it does have an advantage in that it's in roughly the same time zone as Europe. So the kickoff of the games mm-hmm. are going to be in the same time as Europe. That's where FIFA makes a lot of its money because they want to make it ideal for the European rights holders.
Ah.
So that is going to be, I think, one of the big determining factors. Plus, it makes it easier for European fans to sort of travel to Morocco. It's not a big, massive country. It's fairly...
Yeah, it's pretty small.
It's pretty small. Whereas in Brazil, as we saw 4 years ago, that was...
That's a hike, too.
That's a hike, yeah. It's a hike to get there, and plus just to traverse the country. It's a very large country. So I think Morocco has that advantage as well.
Well, if Brazil's viewed as a very large country, Mexico, the United States, and Canada would be massive. Considered a bigger obstacle.
Absolutely, yeah. And plus we don't know with, you know, politically what the situation is going to be. If there's going to be travel bans or whatnot, that might be a potential pickle as well.
Travel bans for what?
Well, just for if Trump gets his way, what kind of travel bans? Because he doesn't...
You know. There's certain countries where you can't you can't be from there to America. Oh,
okay, so the Muslim ban.
Exactly. And that's kind of...
The big eight countries.
Right, and that's kind of the other factor as well, is that every nation of FIFA is voting on this.
As opposed to
just a 24 member of FIFA, right. which last time. So... There's a big block of African votes, So you can appreciate why they might not be so inclined to vote for the United bid, just because of Trump's recent comments with regards to Africa.
So we don't, or do we know what cities will actually host games in North America?
We don't. So what we have is a short list of 23 nations.
Right.
So if the United bid of wins, then that'll get pared down to 16. And then it'll just FIFA, in sort of conjunction, working with Canadian Soccer Association, the U.S. Soccer Federation, the Mexican Soccer Federation, they'll decide which 16.
And so, there's just three in Canada, though, right?
That's correct.
So that's Edmonton, yeah. Montreal, and here.
Right. And I'm led to believe that it's only probably going to be two of those cities that'll get eventually on the list.
So, you know, you're talking about travel here. Mm-hmm. And then this intrigues me now, because I'm now starting to think about this and the potential logistics. Is it feasible that Germany, for example, would play their opening game in Toronto and their second game in Mexico City?
No. So what they'll likely do is there's going to be the group stage is a three nation group.
Yeah, yeah.
So they'll be based out of two cities. So ideally what...
And you assume those would be regionally determined.
Exactly, yes. So, I mean, Vancouver's off the table now, but ideally they would have put that group, based them in, say, Vancouver, Portland, and Seattle.
Right.
That sort of general geographic area. Teams aren't going to be traversing one end of the continent to the other to play
but later games. In the event,
absolutely, sure,
and that would potentially impact fans, because fans are going to come more to see the team they follow, the team they like, their country, than to see the tournament in general.
Yes.
At least until you get down to the maybe semi-final.
That's true, although I don't think you can underestimate the general sort of draw and popularity of this tournament.
I get that. Yeah. But you know, if you're a German fan and you're planning to come, I mean, you're going to say, okay, well, where is Germany playing?
Sure, absolutely.
And then what are the implications once you get there? You can't just check into the hotel, unpack your bags, and then look at the clock and find out what time the game is, walk down to the stadium. You may have to get back on an airplane and go someplace.
Yeah, and get hotel reservations.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
And then if your team, and then you got to plan ahead for after that. Well, if they get past this group, then they go to the next phase, and where would they go? So it's a little messy, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Based on the political climate now, who's going to front this? I mean, I truly believe that the Canadians and Mexicans are involved in this, so that an American doesn't have to truly front this by themselves.
Yes. So there's an interesting point there. Sunil Gulati, who was the former president of the U.S. Soccer Federation, he was the chairman of the United bid. They've kind of pushed him aside. He's still involved in the bid, but they're sort of propping up the president of the Canadian Soccer Federation, Mexican Soccer Federation, U.S. Soccer Federation as joint sort of leaders. And I think that's done in general, in a general response to sort of the political climate with what's going on. I'm sure you can understand why the Trump presidency has made this somewhat of a toxic situation. So they want to de-emphasize the U.S.'s participation too as much as they can.
And when you talk about Europe, like Europe obviously being the driver in so many ways,
yep.
TV money in Europe is phenomenal.
Massive.
And where would TV money be in North America?
Pretty big, too. I mean, the ESPN and the rights holders here have paid pretty big as well. But
so
yeah.
So Disney owns the U.S. rights?
I think so, yeah. Okay. But, I mean, you'd have to appreciate Europe as of, you know, the central, you know, base of FIFA and the global game, right? So I think a large part that's what's driving this.
I need further explanation as to why this three-country, three- or four-time zone, multi-geographical bid makes sense. It was, when it was originally pitched, I assumed there was some economic benefit to this because there were no stadia that had to be built. And there's no doubt that's an advantage. But there are other complications in this. Do you like, as a soccer guy, do you like this idea of a three-nation bid?
I don't. I'm more of a traditionalist. I like the one nation kind of hosting it. I just think it makes it more convenient for fans, for broadcasters, for everyone.
For everybody.
For the players, too. I mean, it's a lot to ask for them especially if this bid success is successful, ask them to sort of make these long trips. They're supposed to be high, you know, high class athletes, mm-hmm. high performance athletes. And, you know, sometimes it's going to be a 3 or 4 day turnaround between playing games, and to sort of put them these sort of travel, you know, demands on them. It's a lot. It is a lot. And this after they played full club seasons, right? I mean, some guys have played sometimes of upward of 50 or 60 times.
Yeah. For the professional teams. What's the genesis of the three country bid? Whose idea was it?
Well, the U.S., originally the three countries were going to bid on their own. So U.S. was going to table a bid, Canada was going to table a bid, and Mexico was table a bid. And then they just kind of got together and said, yeah, it might be better, beneficial just to make it into one.
Chop it up,
yeah. So that way they're not sort of competing against each other.
Does it make more sense to have one country host opening round games than another section of games in another country, and then the final in the third country?
Yeah. Well, it is. I mean, from the quarterfinals on, it is going to be just exclusively in the United States.
Oh, okay.
So group stage games will be sort of divided equally between, well, not equally, but everyone will get a piece of the pie. For the round of 16, the first round, the first knockout round, everyone is going to get a piece of the pie. Right. But then quarterfinals on, it's going to be exclusively in the United States.
And do we know where the final will be?
Well, no, because we don't know which cities will host.
Oh, I thought they might have even determined
no,
that.
No.
Would you suspect L.A.?
I would suspect L.A., yeah. That's who hosted it in 1994.
I was going to say, Rose Bowl, they had and when they did this themselves...
Spectacular, successful.
Yes, yeah, it was. And for the Women's World Cup, too. They did a Women's World Cup that was successful. And really, in many ways, if you look at the growth of the game in the United States, those were watershed moments.
Absolutely. And that was the 94 World Cup in the U.S. was 24 teams. So the other thing we should mention, too, is this one in 2026, we're talking about 48.
But in, correct me if I'm wrong, in doing that, they would have to commit to all three national teams.
I was just going to ask.
Well, that's the other sort of point I should make as well. So usually the host nation automatically
gets a free ride.
Yes. So for the joint, if this joint bid is successful, then FIFA is going to hold a separate vote, has to decide whether all three hosts will automatically get in. So it could be that they decide all three get in, but it could be
that. That's not a given.
That's not a given. Wow. So you can certainly understand why, you know, Vancouver might want to sort of pull out or be a little trepidatious on that too, because there's no guarantee that they might even get games. Because Canada might actually be forced into qualifying. I mean, I suspect that all three will get in, but there is that possibility that they'll
But let's be honest, Canada doesn't deserve to be in based on their performance.
On recent performance? No.
Well, how recent? Define recent. Like the last 30 years.
Yeah,
on the last 30 years, they don't deserve to be
there.
That's
all right.
They've shown improvement the last, like, year and a half, but...
New coach coming.
Oh, really? That's it. There's a new idea. Let's bring a new coach in. How many of those have they had over the last 30 years?
A new coach that we know.
Yes. Yeah. And to be fair, there is, I think, a promising group of youngsters. Alfonso Davies, who plays in Vancouver, is, like, being sort of tracked by teams like Manchester United.
Right.
So I do think there is hope. So if they have to qualify, then they'll have to qualify. But
we've always had players with international reputations.
Some of them didn't want to play for us.
Players. Yeah, there's that, too. Yeah. Embarrassed to play for Canada.
Now, I know you live in Toronto. Mm-hmm. I know you go to TFC all the time. What's the best soccer city in Canada?
I think you can make an argument for Toronto, but you could also make an argument for Vancouver, too. I mean, Vancouver did a really excellent job with the Women's World Cup 3 years ago. I mean, it was spectacularly successful. The turf, obviously, at BC Place Stadium and it's not really very good turf as well. So that obviously hurts it. But, you know, I think both cities have done really well supporting, the national team over the last few years.
Now, I'm assuming if there are games in Toronto.
Edmonton's done a good job, too.
They have as well. Sorry. Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
I mean they've done it, and they'd have to re-turf there, but that to me is still one of the great places to watch a sporting event.
Yeah,
is Commonwealth Stadium.
Yeah.
Well, so if Toronto gets games, I assume they'll be at BMO.
Yes.
BMO seats what 28?
30 and 28.
But they would add.
They would have to add temporary seating because there's a.
Wouldn't it still be small?
Oh,
yeah, but the
World Cup small.
World Cup small, yeah. There's a minimum requirement that stadiums at World Cups have to be 40,000 seating capacity, so which, you know, that's pretty doable. I would have thought it would have been bigger, but it's only 40,000. So if you get 10,000 temporary seating at BMO, then they're there.
I mean, that's why the Olympic Stadium in Montreal and Commonwealth and had BC Place Stadium stayed in. I mean, they're both well, all three of them are well over the quota.
Right.
Yeah, the roof don't come off in Montreal, though.
They may change their mind and just take it off for the day, Bob. You know, take it off, you know.
And then send us the bill again.
Well, a portion.
So they're going to try and grow, they're going to put grass down inside.
They've done that before, like at the Pontiac Silverdome for the 1994 World Cup. They did it, and they pulled it off pretty successfully.
Wow.
In Japan, too, in 2002. There was,
at the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah, I think there was like one or two venues that were indoor, so they pulled it off.
I'm betting it's Toronto-Edmonton.
I tell you what, I think Edmonton doesn't get credit for being as good a soccer city because it doesn't have an MLS team now. Right. They've always had professional soccer there of some level, B or C level, but they've also had the most dedicated sports fans in the country.
They got a 60,000 seat stadium.
And they got a 60,000 seat stadium that is very versatile.
Yeah. It was a key part of the 2015 World Cup.
Right? Yeah.
They held, both semifinals? Well, at least one semifinal
there.
And Canada played the majority of its games there in Vancouver. So, yeah. I think Edmonton shouldn't be overlooked.
So when do the crooks that run this thing make their final decision?
Yeah, so the bid book for both nations has to go in tomorrow, and then the vote will take place.
Well, you just said it was such panache. So the crooks are going to decide.
Well, they are, aren't they?
The vote takes place on June 13th in Russia, which is the day before the World Cup.
We haven't even talked about Russia.
Yeah. Perfect. The crooks are going to make the decision in Russia, of criminals.
Yeah. But crooks, we have to keep in mind, it's not FIFA who is actually voting. It's like each member nation of FIFA is voting. So this is like 200 people sort of voting. It's not the FIFA executive board.
It's not anymore. It's not the Sepp Blatter world anymore.
Right, exactly. So
you got to piece off 200 people instead of half a dozen.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, I would...
it's getting more expensive.
I would argue that trying to corrupt 200 people is far more...
They never had this problem at the Olympics, John. They could always corrupt all those people with the IOC.
Atlanta did it.
Atlanta? Salt Lake?
Yeah.
There was a lot it happened all the time.
It wasn't quite 200, but it was 100 and something countries at that point.
Well, absolutely.
They got to all of them.
Well, there you go. So, I'm not saying it's not impossible, but it's certainly more difficult.
The real key in all this really is whether the Moroccan bid can galvanize the African bloc.
Yes, because as I said, you have to get, so there's 200 and I think seven nations are going to be voting on this, and you need a majority of 103.
Right.
There's 54 African nations, so that's... If they vote as a bloc for Morocco, that's more than half. I mean, they've got a solid pathway to winning the vote.
Rough on the road to Morocco.
We're going to do the show from there, Bob.
Bing Crosby.
You're showing your age again.
Bob Hope.
Dorothy L'Amour is going to be around, too.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do the show from there, Bob.
Yeah. We can't do the show from out there.
I don't know. 2026, you're still going to be working, Bob. It's nice to hear.
I'm going to need to be working. Thanks for coming in, John.
You're welcome.
Nice to see you. Signing another extension soon.
If we ever get the result of this thing, you'll come back.
Absolutely.
June 14th.
Yeah, June 14th.
We'll know. The day after, baby.